This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's cut right to the chase here. I'm at Mike's Beer Bar, and this is shaping up to possibly be a historic day, an epic day in Pittsburgh sports history. We could have two major stories, we could have one, or we could come close to two and get none. As I see it right now, that is the situation. Donnie is back in Green Tree. Malzi is out today. No, it's not explosive diarrhea. His wife, that would be something. His sister is giving birth to her first child, so Malzi's a part of that. Makes sense. He's a family man. He's a good guy, that Malzi. So he's off right now, and I am in the belly of the beast at Mike's with so many people that have called off, sick from work, claim to be having vasectomies, things of that nature, who are here to watch college basketball. And Robert Morris played a whale of a first half, trailed Alabama by 4. They're playing right now in the second half, and they're down 7. If Robert Morris is able to win this game, in my opinion, it would become the second biggest upset in Pittsburgh sports history behind the 13-9 Pitt-West Virginia game from 07. So that's the stakes here in this game. We could be dealing with Andy Toole, good friend, doing something historic as far as Pittsburgh sports are concerned and getting Robert Morris into the next round. Down 7 right now with 15 minutes left. But the big story has to be Aaron Rodgers. And we finally have something. Not just conjecture, not just rumor, not just insiders giving you educated guesses, giving you their hypothesis on what's going to happen. We've got a story. Rodgers is here right now. For all I know, he found a bar. He should come down here and watch the rest of the games. He's meeting with or he's met with Steelers coaches. And depending on who you trust and who you believe in on Twitter as far as the insiders go, this is either a get-to-know-you thing or something might happen in the next few hours. We had Diana Rossini on this very show last week. She thought it would be Minnesota. She tweeted in the last hour that a possible Aaron Rodgers Steelers agreement could be reached today, that it could happen. Adam Schefter doesn't agree with that. Either does Tom Pelissero. They say no deal is imminent. They say Aaron Rodgers is here to more have kind of a get-to-know-you session with the Steelers probably interviewing the Steelers. I think he wants the Steelers to sell him on why it makes sense to come here. Either way, whether this is on the precipice of happening, it is, I think it's a big deal that he's here, because there's been no extra reporting like, hey, this is a tour for Aaron Rodgers. This is him knocking off teams he's interested in playing with. This weekend he'll be with the Giants. You know, if that happened, if that was reported, okay, well, now it's still a competition between two teams. And maybe that will happen. But for right now, the only team Aaron Rodgers, a free agent for the first time in his four-time MVP career, Super Bowl MVP when he beat the Steelers in Super Bowl 45, the only team he's talking to at the moment is this team, and it's not on the phone, it's not on Zoom. And here's another thing that I like about this. When I say like, I mean as far as the chances of it happening, because I'm not a fan of it happening, and we'll probably get to that at multiple times throughout the show. But as far as why I think that this is not like a token interview or something where everybody's wasting each other's time, they're sitting down with each other, they're talking to each other, they're having lunch with each other, but everybody knows in the back of their minds it's probably not going to happen. I think it's instructive here and important to point out that Aaron Rodgers came to Pittsburgh and not the other way around. If Aaron Rodgers was still very lukewarm and really more than not anti-Steelers in this whole sweepstakes for his services, I think he would have forced them to travel to him. Hey, you want to talk to me? I'm in California. Have Art Rooney get a jet and get Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith on that sucker and come see me. He made the point to come to them. He put in the time and work to come to them. I think that that's vital in this whole thing. I think it shows a willingness on his part to do his homework and do his due diligence on them. Because at the end of the day, that's what I think this is. Schefter said no deal is close at this time. I think that's right. I think whenever you're making a big, important life decision, and Rodgers is doing this at 41 years old and trying to figure out, this is going to be a completely foreign thing for me, at least with the Jets. They brought in his lackey, Nathaniel Hackett, and all his former friends from Green Bay, receivers like Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard and whatnot. He's going into this pretty much on his own. You know, they're not bringing in friends of Aaron Rodgers, buddies of Aaron Rodgers. So it makes sense. Before he signs the dotted line, he's got to make sure he's comfortable, not only with these people, but with their infrastructure and with the things they have in place to help him win. I mean, it's easy with texts or whatever, you know, Zoom, whatever. It's not a guarantee through that process that you're going to get a real read on someone. You want to look them in the eye. You want to do it face-to-face, and you want to get answers that way. So my take on this is I'm not going to... Hey, Rossini is plugged in. She's a big-time insider. So I'm not going to say she's wrong. But if I had to bet right now, by 6 o'clock, by the time we sign off the air, is Aaron Rodgers going to be a Steeler? My guess is no. But my odds overall on will Aaron Rodgers be a Steeler before the day started compared to where we're at right now, I think those odds have gone up big time. I feel like it's way more likely now than I did when I got out of bed and went about my business early this morning, when there was no indication or no sign that he was doing anything to express interest or consider or think about coming to the Steelers. All right, Donnie's back in Green Tree. Malzy is off. What a day for Malzy to miss the show when we have gigantic things happening. That's usually how it works. I was in New York City when Kenny Pickett got traded, so I guess in that respect, Aaron Rodgers probably will sign a contract with the Steelers today while one of us is out of commission. Donnie, you said a couple hours ago that you don't think much changes here, that it's pretty much a static situation. You think the odds of Aaron Rodgers signing now were the same as they were last night. Tell me why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that this changes the timeline for him. He knows that he holds the cards in this situation. He knows that the Steelers or the Giants or I guess any other team are waiting on him to make a decision. And we talked about it yesterday or two days ago, the little thought-provoking idea that, listen, he can really wait this out until, like, training camp if he wants to, because what if another team, what if a true contender loses its quarterback? He is in no rush to make this decision. So for me, yeah, I mean, you make a good argument as to him actually coming to Pittsburgh to, you know, talk to coaches, whatever. It also could just be, we don't know this yet, it could be him taking a little tour of a few places that may want his services. Now, he's probably familiar with what the Giants have to offer because he did play with the Jets for the last few years, so he at least knows, I would say, 50% of their facilities. But when it comes to the Steelers, maybe he did want to stop in, see the facility, you know, see what things looked like, see what it felt like for him, talk to the coaches, maybe talk to Art Rooney too, all of that stuff. I don't know how much it really speeds up his operation, though.
So I get that part. Like, I would still say that this is on more of an accelerated timeline than I thought it was, because he's not in some remote location right now having some kind of, you know, foreign unknown tribe put face paint on him and, like, do rain dances with him. I mean, he's contemplating football stuff with other football people right now. He's not in some kind of introspective state where he's in a fortress of solitude thinking about this. Like, the wheels of motion and the gears are moving for him he's collecting the data and information he needs to make a more informed decision. I think if you had said to anybody when we found out the first day of free agency that there was a chance Aaron Rodgers was going to sign with the Steelers, and you knew at that time before he signed that he wanted to, it was his vision to meet with the Steelers in person before he committed to them, I think everybody would have said, makes sense. Like, this is, to me, there have been a lot of things in this story that have made me think Aaron Rodgers really doesn't want to play for the Steelers. He's waiting for something else to happen. He's dodging them. He's delaying them. He's keeping them at arm's length. He doesn't want to give them anything leaning one way or the other. He wants to kind of just play them and keep them on the back burner for as long as he can because it's good from a leverage standpoint. This tells me, or this shows me, that he's at least looking into the boxes that need to get checked before he comes here. And by the way, it is hard to do a show when you have people screaming every time Robert Morris makes a shot. But that's what's happening. They're still in this game. They're down 6 with really the final half of the second half to go. We got 11 minutes left. They're down 6, 56 to 50. The game has been played, by the way, to Robert Morris's pace, which keeps them in this game. So, and they just scored again, 56-52. So that's going to come down to the wire. Donnie, do you agree with me that if Robert Morris were to win this game, it's the second biggest upset in Pittsburgh sports history?
Trying to think of things rattling through my head very quickly that would rank ahead of it. I mean, it's pretty hard to find anything else.
21.5-point underdog when this game
now
tipped off.
Here's the other thing, and I know that technically by the time this particular game I'm about to bring up, by the time it got started, it was like right around even money for the teams. But wouldn't you have to argue that Robert Morris would own like two of the biggest upsets, at least in the last 25 years in this city?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like David over Goliath because it was a NEC team beating one of the greatest programs in college basketball history. But as Chris has said several times on this show, because he was there, like, Kentucky was checked out and didn't really want to be there. Calipari only took the game because it was a chance for him to go back to his hometown.
Right.
Alabama was in the Final Four last year with guys. They went into this game thinking that this was going to be a cakewalk, that this is the first step in a six-step journey to win the national championship. They lead the nation in scoring 91 points per game. They've scored over they scored over 100 points eight times this year. And they're on pace to score around 70-something points. So, and that, it's not like Robert Morris has put on a defensive clinic. Alabama's shooting over 59% from the field. But the, it's more the pacing of the game has not been so frantic that Alabama has made a bunch of threes. And they've only shot four free throws, which, again, the clock stops when you go to the free throw line, gives you a chance to score more points. So Robert Morris has done a great job overall of not getting themselves in foul trouble and not having some of their best players sit on the bench. None of their star players have more than two fouls in this game. So,
wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Drew Joyce, the head coach at Duquesne, he was on the bench as an assistant last year when the Duke shocked the world and beat BYU and won their first tournament game in 50 years. He now heads that program with Keith Dambrot off into retirement. He's going to share some thoughts in a moment on what's going on. I told you, we could have two historic things happen today. Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers, he's in town. And Robert Morris trying to pull off the biggest college basketball upset in this city's history. 21.5-point dog against Alabama. Under eight timeouts, so there's 7 minutes and change to go in this game. Alabama's up two, and Amarian Dickerson is ready to go to the free throw line for Robert Morris, an and-one situation to cut into this lead and make it a one-point game. Drew Joyce with us right now. Drew, long time no speak. Andrew Filippone here. Just your thoughts on what we're seeing with Robert Morris, a 15 seed, playing such a competitive game against Alabama so far.
Listen, well, it was great to be back on air with you too, Andrew. But you're seeing exactly what March is about. You know, Cinderella team, an underdog team, as people perceive, right? But what I see is, you know, Robert Morris has been a good basketball team all season long. They know who they are. They know what they do well, and they're playing, you know, they're leaving all their energy and effort on the floor. We got a ball game.
Yeah. I'm looking at the stats here. We're watching the game at Mike's. You're very familiar with Mike's. Mike says hi, by the way. You brought the A-10 trophy down here not too long ago. They're still showing pictures of it here, so you're still good
graces. We still got to bring another one.
Absolutely. I see 5 of 20 from 3 for RMU, 6 of 20 from 3 for Alabama. It's like both of these teams really haven't shot the ball from the outside well, Drew, and yet RMU's only down 2 against a Power 4 team that leads the nation in scoring with 91 points per game. So what do you make of that? Both teams struggling from the outside, and yet it's allowed for Robert Morris to hang in the game.
Yeah, and everyone kind of knows Alabama. That's a bread and butter thing for them, you know, being able to shoot the three. I think Robert Morris is doing a good job of contesting those. I'm sure they probably don't want to give up as many attempts as they have right now, but Alabama's going to continue to shoot them. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I think Robert Morris has gotten some good looks from three, but they're doing a great job of getting second chance opportunities.
I know.
You know.
And who would have thought that? They're
out
rebounding them, Drew. They're out rebounding an Alabama team with all kinds of size, 33-24 in this game. How about that?
Yeah, you know, hey, sometimes rebounding isn't about the size and length that you put on the court. It's about how you pursue the basketball. And, Robert Morris is they're first to the basketball right now, and I think that their life difference of just the pure approach to, you know, a 50-50 ball, who wants it. And they're continuing to show that they're going after these offensive rebounds, and this is a key element to this basketball game.
1 point game right now. Dickerson, who's from Cleveland, he's a Northeast Ohio kid just like you, Drew. He just made that free throw to make it a 1 point game. It's a crowd here's going crazy, so bear with me. So they're down one.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, so. You know, you were in these moments last year with Duquesne beating BYU, almost the same situation, early game, double-digit seed. When you're in a close game and we're down to the last few media timeouts, it's 7 minutes to go and you're right there, what are you telling your team in those breaks in the action, Drew, to help them win the game?
I think, you know, you try to help with any corrections that are needed, but you're just trying to breathe confidence into your team and letting them understand that this isn't a mistake of why they're this close in the game, that they've earned it, that, you know, they got to continue to play well and with that energy. So a lot of encouragement. Like I said, you'll try to make your adjustments if needed, but a lot of encouragement because they have the momentum. So you just want to be able to continue with that.
And, Drew, as you can tell, they just took their first lead of the game, Robert Morris, now 65-64. Do you think for the Alabama side, do you think that there's a – can you get tight in a situation like this where the momentum's with Robert Morris, and let's face it, the crowd there in Cleveland wants Robert Morris to pull off the upset?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's an element to it, and, you know, you find it more in March in these situations because – these guys have watched tons of basketball. They know, hey, what it is to be the team that has to live up to all the pressure. You know, Alabama is supposed to win this game, so you know, it's up to them. Can they remain poised? Can they find their rhythm in their way? But it's definitely a battle of on the mental side. Can you overcome the emotions and play good basketball down the stretch?
The thing I was impressed by early in this game, Drew, was Alabama would go on runs. I mean, they would go on a 6-0 run. They'd go on a 10-2 run. And Robert Morris would come right back. You know, a lot of these times in these situations, you know, it starts to go downhill for these teams from big conferences against the smaller schools where they get hot and, you know, an 8-point lead can turn into a 15-point lead. But every time it looked like Alabama was going to open things up, Robert Morris responded. I mean, how much of that do you think it is your team's mentality going into this matchup. How do you convince them during the week that even though this team's been ranked all year and they've got NBA players, that you can beat them in a situation like this?
Yeah, you got to give credit to Coach Toole and his staff and how they prepared their group, because, hey, the game is going to be run, and you're going to have to manage them, and it's no different than situations they've been through all season. Now the stakes are higher, but if you can calm the, like I said, the emotional side of it and just play basketball, they've been in this situation time and time again at some point during the season. And they've just found, like you said, throughout the game, ways to rally. They'll have to find another yeah. solution as Alabama looks to try to be going on a little bit of run and seize control.
Yep, Alabama now up 68-65. Drew, do coaches get nervous in this spot? I mean, was your heartbeat going a million miles a minute last year, that BYU game when you're sitting next to Keith? I mean, what's it like for coaches in a spot like this where, holy cow, for you guys, it was, we're right there, we might pull off, you know, our first tournament win in almost half a century?
Hey, look, we're human. Coaches are human too, and we have that element, and we have to find a way to calm ourselves and make sure we're putting our guys in the best position. And like I said, players have to be able to, you know, maintain and control their emotions as well as a coach. You go through these things, and that's what makes the games exciting. That's what makes them fun. It's basketball at its highest level. It's a perfect balance, man.
All right, Drew, we're under 5 minutes here. Alabama's up five with 5 minutes to go. What do you think Robert Morris is going to have to do over these next 5 minutes to win this game?
Yeah, the last few drives, it seems as if, you know, Alabama's been trying to will their way into the paint. They've gotten layups. You know, I think they're gonna need to get some defensive stops, whether they create a turnover or just get it done with forcing a bad shot and a rebound. But I think Alabama, these last few possessions, trying to put a lot of pressure on the rim, and they got to figure out how to keep them out the paint.
Drew, next year at this time, let's hope we're watching you in the tournament. I've got a sneaking suspicion we will be. You'll get those guys back in there. And what a glorious run that was for you guys through March last year. And great to catch up with you. And in-game analysis, man, if the coaching thing doesn't work out, I think color commentary might be in your future. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And hopefully we turn this conversation to a post-game conversation next year.
All right. See you, Drew. There you go. Drew Joyce.
All right, bye.
The head coach at Duquesne just wrapped up his first year there, was obviously on the bench when they beat BYU and advanced in the tournament last year. We were here watching Duquesne in the tournament last year. Remember that, Donnie? That Illinois game?
Oh, I do.
Illinois was putting them on him, but, man, when Duquesne would have a bucket, this place would erupt.
And it would bring them within a 30-point game, unfortunately.
But the fans here, they were some diehard Duquesne fans. They were good fans, very good fans. All right, so I told you we got a multitask today. Under 5 minutes, Alabama now has opened things up a little bit, 70-65 against Robert Morris. Robert Morris did at one point take the lead here, their first lead of the game. The game's basically been played even for all 35 minutes. It was 40-36 Bama at the half. It's now in the second half, Alabama's only outscored Robert Morris by one, 30-29. We do think two things are going to happen with this game. Regardless of what happens, if Robert Morris loses, you're going to hear Andy Toole from Cleveland with us. There's also a chance he'll come on live, regardless of how this game ends, just based on some pregame conversations. And I did my part, Donnie. I picked Alabama to win the national championship. So
you really did.
I did what I could to try to put Robert Morris in position to do the impossible. All right, when we come back here at Mike's, we'll keep this situation going. You don't need to turn the channel. We'll give you all the information you need on this classic, what's shaping up as a classic game. You have Jay Glazer has just put out the latest on Aaron Rodgers. You can take that ball, buddy. You can have it. What Jay Glazer, Mike Tomlin's best friend, his BFF in the media, what he just said about Aaron Rodgers, he's in Pittsburgh, meeting with the Steelers right now. 2:39. Now is the time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. You can probably tell from the ambient sound here, I'm at Mike's, our home away from home, for tourney time, day two of the tournament. Place is packed. I just saw a guy without using his hands use his tongue to take a Zin out of the Zin container. I'd never seen that move before.
I thought really Crowley was at Archie's today, not Mike's.
Also, some media members who don't work for our station were here and mean mugged me. That's a whole other ball game. I'll tell you about that. Actually, I don't know about mean mug, but kind of blew me off. That's all right. But then I guess they could accuse me of blowing them off. I don't know. Anyways, at the under four timeout, Alabama is now up on Robert Morris, 74-66. It's like a 10-1 run for Alabama. And just to recap what's happened in this game, Robert Morris has been there the entire time. This is actually one of Alabama's biggest leads in the second half. The last few possessions, Alabama's gone to the basket. They've either scored or got fouled. And Robert Morris has tried to get to the basket, and they haven't been able to finish against those big men from Alabama. Alabama has a player, Grant Nelson, who's their second leading scorer, who has a knee injury. And Alabama went into this game hoping that they could rest him for games that would be more important. And to give you an idea of how close this game was and how nervous Alabama got, Nate Oates, the coach of Alabama, put this guy into the game with about 10 minutes left. And I don't think he's done much, but it just speaks to the urgency that Alabama had to start to play with because of the way Robert Morris hung around and at one point in the second half even took the lead. You hear a lot of times in these games where it's David versus Goliath that David has to play a perfect game. And that's the interesting part about Robert Morris so far in this game. They're 5 of 23 from 3, which is terrible. And their leading scorer, their second best player, Cam Woods, who was on the NC State team that went to the Final Four last year that won games in Pittsburgh, that great NC State-Oakland game with Jack Golke from Oakland. Donnie and I and Mulsey were all at that game. Cam Woods came off NC State's bench, transferred, took an NIL deal from Robert Morris. He's their star guard. He's 2 of 17 in this game with 5 points. So he's done virtually nothing. The Horizon League Player of the Year, Alvaro Fulgaris, has 13. So he's had a good game, not a great game. And Robert Morris still has it within single digits. They're down now 9 with 2 minutes and change. But if you bet them plus 21.5, you're on easy street. I got them at plus 30.5. Jay Glazer, we know how close he is to Tomlin. We know that those two guys are thick as thieves. Here is Glazer's first tweet on Aaron Rodgers being in Pittsburgh right now. If you're just tuning in, no, I'm not making that up. No, it's not. Oh, is the Brandon Ayuk source tell you that? No. Everyone's reporting it. Aaron Rodgers is here. And here's what Glazer said about it a few minutes ago. If Aaron Rodgers signs with the Steelers, he and Arthur Smith should do a show together. They'd be like those two old dudes from the Muppets who talk bleep from the balcony. It would be hilarious. I'd never miss an episode. All right, serious reaction to that tweet is Glazer saying if Roger signs, he's leaving the door open, that something's going to get done. That's always a big deal because of how close Glazer is to Tomlin. And then the other part of it is the Muppets reference. Donnie, do you know the name of the two old guys from the Muppets?
The two? Oh no, I know exactly who you're talking about. But
I love those two old guys.
You're not talking about Bert and Ernie. You're talking about like the two.
I'm talking about those two old guys that would go
white
to like
hair,
movies.
Bald head.
Yes, they'd be at the movie balcony and they'd be talking smack on everybody. That's what Jay Glazer is saying would be the equivalent of Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers. Which here's the interesting again another serious interpretation of that tweet. I think if Aaron Rodgers came here, he would not really, and maybe this is part of his investigation of the Steelers being here right now. The way that Tomlin lets guys basically walk all over him, George Pickens showing up late for games, George Pickens showing up late for practices, George Pickens not always taking his job that seriously, that ain't going to fly with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got on Garrett Wilson in New York for like way less. Think about what he said about Mike Williams when he threw that interception that basically ended Mike Williams' Jets career. He's a real stickler for things. And so we know Tomlin's the opposite, especially if you're a talented guy. He basically lets you get away with bloody murder. So that would be a huge contrast in styles. Unless Aaron Rodgers came here and he just wanted a, basically a retirement check and didn't really take his job as seriously as he has with the Jets and Packers. I won't say seriously. I mean more his approach to the job and always wanting things done his way. Unless he's able at 41 to turn over a new leaf and be a different guy. Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith can want a tight ship all they want. But if Tomlin doesn't want to run one, it's not going to happen. And that's when the butting of heads would take place. You think Russell Wilson versus Arthur Smith was a big deal? Aaron Rodgers versus Tomlin would be a heavyweight fight. And that is, by the way, one of the only silver linings that I see to signing Aaron Rodgers, that we would get to see Rodgers' attempt to put Tomlin in his place the same way Ben used to do.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.